Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, perhaps I'm overstating the obvious here, but this command from Christ is not the easiest to live out. God is mercy. He never stops extending His mercy to us, no matter how far we strayed away from Him. He always offers forgiveness and reconciliation. That's just who He is. And He calls us to do the same. But how can we mere humans possibly succeed? You might be wondering. That's a great question. How is it even possible? Well, only in and through Christ and the great victory that He won for us. His victory over sin and death and the resurrection. And there's strong links to last week here. You may have noticed them in the second reading in the Gospel especially. It's all about living the resurrection. Living this great gift that Jesus has given us. In today's second reading, St. Paul continues his teaching on who Christ really is and what He truly accomplished. Notice the intentional contrast that he draws here. The first man, Adam, was a living being. That much is kind of obvious, right? Yet the last Adam, Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. A spirit that gives life. Adam lived, Jesus gives life. The first man was natural, being formed from the earth, which we remember from Genesis, right? The very beginning of the Bible. The second is supernatural, coming from heaven. However, Jesus doesn't shun the natural. He's the creator of the natural. So He embraces the natural. And in fact, He came to redeem it from the brokenness that sin and death bring about. Therefore, He partakes in the natural. The Word became flesh and lived among us. He does this in order to lead us into the supernatural, to show us how to live the resurrection. That is why He conquered sin and death for us, so that we could seek what is above, living for heaven, not living primarily for what is here on earth. Yet, as Paul points out, the choice is ours. Jesus doesn't force this on us. Paul says, as was the earthly one, so also are the earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also are the heavenly. So we get to pick. Are we going to go primarily after the earthly or the heavenly? And that's what we're going to resemble. The psalmist in today's responsorial, which comes from the marvelous Psalm 103, I highly recommend you check it out for a little holy homework. But so the psalmist highlights how the Lord responds when we live the resurrection and what happens to us in the process. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. This person clearly is deeply in love with the Lord and full of His peace and joy. It's a beautiful sight. With all my being, I'm going to bless the Lord, this person's saying. And forget not all of His benefits, even amidst the struggles and the tribulations, still remembering His goodness, still praising Him. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does He deal with us, nor does He requite us according to our crimes. And that's a very good thing, because if it wasn't for His mercy, we would simply be doomed. There's no way for us out of our sins without His mercy. But He is so patient, so kind, merciful, and generous. We heard slow to anger, abounding in kindness. He wants what's good for us, and He's patient. He's going to wait for us, even when we commit the same sins over and over. He's always there, extending His merciful hand. And He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, because again, we'd be in real trouble then. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Notice how he banishes our sins away. He doesn't hold them over our heads and say, oh, I remember when you did that. Yep, remember that 5 years ago? Remember that last week? No, he doesn't do that. Not at all. He just wants us to be free. That's all he wants for us. And he's willing to suffer with us along the journey to help us to become free. That's what compassion means. The first part of that word, C-O-M, means with. Passion means suffering, struggle. Suffer, struggle with. He's willing to do that. Even when we choose sin, we're choosing something other than him. And he still wants to suffer with us. So he doesn't just throw grace at us from afar and say, here you go, have a nice day, we'll see what you can do with it. No, he enters right into the very depths of our sins and our struggles, transforming and lifting us up through them. This is who our God is. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. Again, this is who God is. This is what he does. In response to your sins, he could destroy you. He could annihilate you, right? But what does he do? He redeems you from destruction and sets a crown upon your head. That's his response to your sins. This is stunning. And it sounds unbelievable at first blush, but we know that it couldn't be more wonderful and true. We know that as Christians. Remember, though, that he didn't do this just for fun, nor did he do it just for you individually. He wants to amaze and transform you so that you can in turn share his mercy and love with others to help them become amazed and transformed by him. And today's first reading gives us such a stellar example. As we saw, David very easily could have just killed Saul right there, just take him out in his sleep, no resistance, and then he would have become king right there. This would have been living as the first man, to use some of Paul's language, is living only on the natural level, living for himself. Yet, he knows better, because he's been listening to God. We can tell by what he says. David says that men are rewarded for justice and faithfulness, not for self-centeredness. And so David proves to Saul and his minions that he is a man of God, not of fleshly concerns. He chooses the better yet more difficult path of mercy, which Saul refuses and probably doesn't even understand what it's all about. And remember that Saul, the reason why he has these 3,000 picked men with him is to kill David. That's the whole thing. And not because David did anything wrong, because Saul's jealous. He wants to kill him. And David responds with this wonderful mercy. It's beautiful. This is a manifestation of God's very own mercy. Returning now to the gospel passage, we pick right up where we left off last week. This is the very next verse where last week left off on the Sermon on the Plain. And today we find Jesus teaching about, well, you guessed it, mercy. Mercy. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Those of you that are going to go to the basketball games in Missoula next weekend, maybe keep this in mind, right? But let us make no mistake. This is brutally hard, what Jesus is tasking us with here. There's no doubt about that. And it's especially hard in our highly polarized and cancel-happy society. Yet we know that it is the right way and the only way to true reconciliation and unity. We see all kinds of other efforts around us, and some do make some good progress, but they ultimately fail because they're not rooted and grounded in our Lord. And it even makes good sense if we think about it, and Jesus helps us. He says, if you live only for those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Even pagans do that. People that don't even know Christ do that. We're called to a higher standard because we know Christ. He lives within us. And so, yes, we're called to higher ground, to live the resurrection, and to help others to this higher ground as well. We're called to give without measure and expect nothing in return. Again, this is brutally hard. Nobody's trying to say that it's easy. This is carrying our share of the cross with Christ. That's what we're called to do. It's also building up the body of Christ, the mystical body of our Lord, living as the Eucharistic people that we're called to be. This is the path of ongoing conversion that we talk about so frequently. Friends, in order to be merciful as your Father is merciful, you have to be generous as He is. And generosity of heart really is crucial. It's part and parcel of the Christian life. A great example of this is the three hearts. You may have heard of this. The Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate and Sorrowful Heart of Mary, and then the Most Chaste Heart of Joseph. All three of these hearts, you'll see flames coming out of the top. And these flames indicate a love for God, first and foremost, a burning love for God, but also for His people. But these flames don't consume the heart. It's like the burning bush. These flames keep going and going. They're holy flames. Then also two of these hearts, Jesus and Mary, they're pierced. There's blood coming out, blood shed for others. Now, Jesus was literally physically pierced. You can see the blood and the water coming out of His heart right here on our wonderful San Damiano cross. Mary, it's more of kind of like a white martyrdom of sorts. We hear that her heart was pierced. Although she wasn't killed physically in life, she emptied herself out and paid a high price for it. So this is all about generosity of heart, the total self-emptying love that Christ, He shows us so beautifully on the cross. All three of these hearts show that same thing. That's what we're called to. But as we know, it's much easier to be stingy and self-centered. That's the easy path. Just take a look around, though, and see what happens. See where this leads. Look at the immense brokenness in many of our families, in our community, in our state, our nation, all over our world. Immense brokenness, also deep confusion about who we are as human beings, what it means to be human, why we're here, what it means to be man, what it means to be woman, what it means to be a Christian. Deep, deep confusion about these things. But it's easy to kind of look around and point some of these things out. I also challenge you to look into your own heart. See the wreckage that's going on in there. That's much harder to do. That takes humility. That takes courage. But again, this is the path of ongoing conversion. And thankfully, there is an answer to all this mess. Receive the mercy, kindness, and forgiveness of our Lord. And then extend this same mercy, kindness, and generosity selflessly to others, seeking to make amends rather than to be right or to win. It's not about having others sacrifice to build me up. It's about building others up by sacrificing myself. That's what it means to walk the Christian life, to follow our Savior. And if you do this, then, full of peace and joy, you will walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God, and help a great many others to do so as well.